Yes, before you can open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. But I think if you have children, you may just want to warn them about, I guess there's some really graphic videos online of the terror of the murders. You may want to warn them. My wife told me she was traumatized this morning. She watched a video clip and she described it to me. I don't even want to see it. I do not want to see that, what she described to me. And I guess in Israel, they were warning their kids not to go on social media. So beware. Maybe you've seen some of those things. Maybe you've been traumatized yourself. But just be aware it's out there. And if you have children, you don't want them to see that stuff. Father, before we break up into small groups to pray, Lord, together we ask, Lord, that you would have mercy. Have mercy. Those that are suffering right now, the captives, Lord, that are being probably brutalized and even murdered, even as we are praying for them. Lord, if they haven't already all been murdered, and Father, they have mercy, give courage, strength, save, Lord. Father, bring saving faith, Lord, that they can be welcomed into your arms if they're martyred. Father, we ask those that are responsible for the response, give them wisdom. Those that are making the plans and those that are actually going to put their lives in harm's way to win this war. Father, we ask that you would supernaturally block those that want to senselessly murder innocent people at point blank range on purpose just to create terror. Those that are torturing, Father. We ask that you would even do supernatural miracles of those that would be torturing, Lord. Just deal with them so they can't. I ask, Father, that you would even bring terror to the terrorists. Give them a taste of their own medicine, Father, until they stop. But, Father, and lead us and guide us when we break up to prayer groups. Lead us and guide us in our prayers, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take a quick look at Luke 11, make some quick points. I was asked a question about this recently by one of the teenagers, about their question was really about vain repetition prayer. And this the prayer that Jesus does teach the disciples here is known as the Lord's Prayer, and the Roman Catholic Church, they call it the Our Father. And it's really the disciples' prayer. He taught the disciples to pray this. So we'll take a really quick look at this. There's one main point in a parable. There are things in a parable that may have nothing to do with the main point, per se. They're just part of the story because a parable is a story to teach a lesson. And we'll actually point that out here as we... But first, we'll read through, maybe pause at certain moments. Verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So they had observed Jesus on many occasions. He would just go off to pray. And they would watch him as he would go off to pray. And we don't know which one of the disciples this was, but as he was coming back, this disciple said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And it makes this point that I think probably most of you here have already learned to pray. That doesn't mean we can't learn more how to. But he was a chosen disciple, and he realized, "I don't know. I'm watching you pray. I don't know how. Lord, teach us." And we need to ask our Lord to teach us and continue to ask. So he said to them, "When you pray," and I'll just read this through. This is a model prayer. It's not necessarily something that you would say every day. I don't say it every day. I only say it on occasion. Usually when I'm in a group that they want to pray it together as a group, and I focus on what I'm saying. but this is the model prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So a very short, succinct prayer to focus, first of all, to focus on the Father in heaven, our future home, to desire to do the will of God ourselves, to desire to see the will of God done everywhere, all around us. That will be heaven. That will be the millennial reign and then the eternal heaven. He mentions daily bread. Now, yes, we should pray over our food, give thanks. There are those that are actually asking for food because they're in need. But beyond that, it makes a point. We should be praying daily. Probably some of you pray all day long. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure I'm not the only one here. I'm sure there's probably even the majority, if not all of us, that pray periodically throughout the day, moment by moment, as often as it occurs to us. But if you don't pray every day, definitely you need to learn to pray. Not just wait for some crisis, but communion, and that's prayer. Forgiveness of sins, to keep a clean conscience before God, sins of omission, as well as sins of commission, and then to forgive. Forgive everyone who needs our forgiveness, those that have sinned against us intentionally or even unintentionally because they're just careless, but they do, but we don't hold it against them because we really, first of all, God forbids us to do it. That's enough reason right there, but the reason he does forbid us because it's a cancer in the soul if we don't forgive, to hang on. And I know Christians that do. They hang on to bitterness and unforgiveness. And whenever I'm aware of it, I warn them of the danger they are to themselves by doing it. And then he brings up the spiritual warfare and the fact that the evil one wants to take advantage. We need to be focused, aware of the warfare, and also of temptation. And then he tells the parable. And I'll read through the parable quickly. It says, verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give you. So I mentioned that there's, I guess you'd call it filler in parables, things that aren't necessarily making the point. But because God never says, go away, I'm sleeping. My children are with me in bed and I don't want to deal with... No, God never says that to us. Now, there are times in our prayer life where we don't get the answer that we want and the timing that we want, and it would seem to us that God's not listening, but he is. He may not be answering yet, but he is listening, and for us to not be discouraged and not to think that he's trying to send us away or discourage us in any way. It could be a test of our faith. But what he teaches here in the parable, and the main point of the parable is coming up here, verse 8, I say to you, though he will... Oh, by the way, there's a parallel passage in Luke 18 that I'll just maybe mention. That's the widow and the unjust judge. Here, this friend is coming to get something he needs for someone else. He's not coming saying, I'm hungry, I need some bread now. Sorry, I just got midnight munchies. No. He's like, hey, it's late, but I got a visitor, I got nothing. I know you got something, I need it, friend. Come on, get out of bed. I need some loaves. He's going to God for other people, for a friend. We all have friends that need to get saved, family members that need the bread of life. And So there's a deeper lesson here that applies to all of us. We need to be going to our Heavenly Father because we've got friends that we don't have. We can't give them what they need. We can't give them salvation. They've got to get it from God. We've got to get the bread of life, deliver the message, but say, Lord, you got to turn their heart. You got to work in their lives. I can give the message, but if you don't do the work, they're not going to get it. So this is really has everything to do with our prayer life. And maybe this really is most of my prayer life, praying for other people. But that doesn't mean we don't pray, have our own needs that we pray for. And by contrast, the widow wanted justice. There was something she needed. She'd been wronged, and she wanted it to be made right. And so it's a parable. It wasn't a true story, but it could. And so she's going to get justice out of this unjust judge, which, again, that's filler in that parable in Luke 18. God's not unjust in any way. He always is just. He's always fair, and he wants to be merciful. But that parable in Luke 18 and this parable both have the one main point: persistence. Don't give up. Don't ever stop praying. That's the main point of both of these parables. And that's what he says here. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him to eat because he is his friend. And the truth of the matter is God does hear our prayers because he calls us friend. But in the parable, the persistence is the point. It says, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. It's kind of like conjures up the picture of the guy just opening the door and throwing the loaves out. It's like, here's the bread, get out of here, I want to go. You know, which, of course, God's not like that either, but some people are. Anyways, the point is persistence. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop praying. We've probably stopped praying on occasion only to have God answer it later on, and we've even been a little maybe ashamed of ourselves that we stopped praying, that we gave up on it, when God was just waiting for his perfect timing. Verse 9, he says, so I say to you, and unfortunately the English translation doesn't give the fullness of it here unless you're reading the Amplified, because the continuous action, it doesn't come across in the English. We don't have the perfect tense in English, but they do in the Greek language. So I'm not going to read only the words that are on the page here. I'm going to give the more literal translation. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, or ask continually and don't stop, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep seeking continually and don't stop, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't stop knocking. Knock continually, and it will be opened to you. The persistence is there in the Greek grammar, which our English lacks. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Obviously, the answer here is no. We ask God for good things that we need or for people. And God, he knows what we need. He's not going to give us less than we need or something bad. He's going to give us what we need and even maybe better, often better than we ask for. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So that brings out the point, like what we need most of all is the Holy Spirit. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit continually, filled with the Spirit, not just a one and done, but a continual response and empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And ask for it. Ask for it. We need to ask for it. God wants to give it. He wants to give us the power of his Spirit. And I think I'll just read a couple verses from 18 and then we'll turn it over to prayer. Luke 18. The first verse says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And this is critical because the enemy wants us to lose heart. We prayed this prayer a decade. You have some prayers that you've prayed for more than a decade, 2 decades? I have. Maybe even more than two or maybe even 3 decades you've been praying certain prayers. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. That's the main point. He gives it before he gives the parable. He gives the reason why he's going to speak the parable, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You know, maybe we've been traumatized by what we've learned in Israel, or other things in our life before. But right now, the current thing is the terror and the suffering in Israel. And on the Palestinians, I'm grieved by those that want to be sympathetic to the Palestinians but hate on the Jews and Israel in their attempt. We can, you know, those that are terrorists, whatever they, you know, I hope they get what they deserve. But the innocent ones, and they've been deceived by the devil to hate, but I am glad that some politicians that I rarely have any respect for at all, or at least doing some right things here with support for Israel. But, and I've heard of some that aren't, a very few. But he goes on with the parable. He says, there was in a certain city, and I'm just going to read through it quickly because I want to get to prayer. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will weary me. Again, this is filler. This judge doesn't even care a thing about justice. He only wants to save himself getting pestered. He's just doing it out of self-preservation. He's not like, oh, this woman deserves justice. No. But the point is persistent. She's persistent, and that's the main point. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? What's that say about prayer? Do you pray in the middle of, I don't know, maybe you sleep all night long. I don't sleep all night long. I wake up in the middle of the night and I pray. I hope you sleep all night long. But sometimes I got to pray myself back to sleep. But day, night, morning, afternoon, evening, there's never a wrong time to pray. And for us to be praying at all times. They cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. So there's the hint that he may be hearing our prayers for quite a long time as he's waiting for his perfect timing to answer those prayers, put his plan in action. But he bears long with us while we keep the persistence. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The promise here is that God's going to, when he pulls the trigger, man, it's fast. Sometimes it's so fast it makes our head spin. Sometimes it's so fast we're like, what was that? Oh, that was an answer to prayer. Done, gone, boom, there it is. Speedily. He does not delay. He may wait for the right time, but when it happens. So the question is this, will he find, now maybe we live till the rapture. It looks more likely all the time, but we don't know that. But will he find faith in us right now, here tonight? Will we draw near to God and pray? So let's break up into groups of at least 3, maybe no more than 5, so everybody can pray without, you know, feeling competition or overshadowed. So let's gather in groups of 3 to 5. Let's remember, let's pray for our missionaries. They're on the foreign field. They depend upon our prayers. The Hewlett family in Tirana, Andy Valaitis and his wife Banga and their son in Klaipėda, Lithuania. And the church in Izmir still depending upon us for their, I think Roger's still paying the rent on the apartment so they can use it to meet in. So the church in Izmir. Turkey is not the easiest place to be a Christian. And it's getting more difficult all the time. So we'll pray for those things. Pray for our nation. We need it. Pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. And so let's break up into groups of 3 to 5.